This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
Let's go, baby.
Yes, this is our weekly Q&A live stream we do every Tuesday on our YouTube channel. In our Facebook group, we post a post for you to ask your questions, and then we answer them live on the air. So if you're listening to the podcast right now, go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Go join our Facebook group and become a part of the conversation. And yeah. We'll see y'all there.
Yeah.
Hot breath.
Hot breath.
But as we get into the Q&As here, you like that? A little halitosis? I got to meet some hot breathers this past week. I was on the road for like 4 days, Wednesday to Sunday. 5 days? 4 days? I was on the road for a minute and got to see some hot breathers. So shout out to all the hot breathers that I got to see in North Carolina and Virginia.
Is it breathers or brethrens and sisterins?
I go back and forth. I don't know. It depends on how many words I want to say. So if I feel like saying more words, I'll say hot brethren and sisterin. And then if I'm just feeling word economy, I just go hot breathers and they get it.
For sure. Just hot bees. I saw some hot bees out.
Some hot bees. Yeah. And there's a comedian in the Philippines that had messaged me with some, asking for some advice for this contest he was doing. And then he messaged me back and said it went really well and all that. So
awesome.
I love it. Emil Buenaventura. So
nice.
I love getting those messages from around the world, man. So do reach out to us on social media. Let us know.
Absolutely.
About your comedy journey. Feel free to ask any questions. That's what we do here every Tuesday.
You did 5 days in like a couple of cities or just one?
Yeah, I was in Mooresville, North Carolina, and then I was in Lynchburg, Virginia, and then I was in Richmond for 2 days.
Nice. Awesome, dude.
So got to see my old college roommate on a Saturday night. He came out to the show, got to go meet his family, and then he came to the show in Richmond Saturday night. The late Saturday show, which was, of course, the drunk show. It was like babysitting. I mean, it went all the shows went great, and I'm great. I actually filmed all of them. I'm getting in the content game. We're playing it, Yoshi.
Yep.
We're doing it. All right.
We're doing it.
I filmed every single set. I had a lav mic on.
Nice.
We're going for it. Spent over an hour editing one crowd work clip. This is very sustainable. Yeah.
One clip. Now we got to get to the rest of the 45 minutes, the other 45 minutes. So it's another 45 hours. And we'll get to that by Tuesday. By next Tuesday, we will have 45 hours of.
But it's sick, editing. It's about cereal. So you know how I am with cereal. So people go check that out on my Instagram and my Facebook page. But yeah, they were all great. Awesome. It was good to get back on the road and be headlining and really feel that extra time and really have fun with it. So it was all positive, man. It just feels good to get back out there.
Nice. That's awesome. That's very awesome.
Yeah. So, and shout out to David Goolsby, who opened up for me for like three of those four nights. On that Saturday late show, he had one of my favorite lines where he did his merch pitch for his stickers, and he goes, "All right, I'm gonna do one more joke and then never do comedy again."
That's such a great line. So that's like a really good like inside baseball comedian joke. Did the crowd enjoy that?
Yeah, they kind of giggled at it. Yeah.
Okay, that's funny. That's really
funny. They were just kind of drunk, so it was like one of those that like you just get what you can from them. You don't
sure.
Cuz we always want laughs to be a 10. But of some course. Audiences are literally like a six, and they have a great time. Sure. So,
as a collective, they're like, you know something? It's like they have like, what's that word? Like intuition with each other. It's like, hey guys, we're not going to be a 10 audience. Together, we're going to be a six. And that's how we're going to stay. Okay.
Yep.
They don't say it, but you could just feel it. Yeah.
And I think it's something young comics will do is in those shows, they'll get mad at the audience or they'll take it out on the audience and be like, what's wrong with y'all? Like, why aren't y'all laughing more or whatever? Instead of having that awareness on stage of like, oh, okay, so this is what this audience is. And let's just still give them a great show, still perform as if it is a 10 and whatnot. Because a lot of times those shows, first off, people don't come to a comedy show to not be at a comedy show. So don't get mad at them for being there, first off, and not being what you want them to be. But second off, a lot of times those shows, that's when people come up to you afterwards and be like, oh my gosh, you were hilarious. Thank you so much. I needed to laugh. Like, just because they're not laughing at a 10 every time doesn't mean that they're not having a good time. Doesn't mean that you're bombing. Doesn't mean you get angry at them. But part of the job of a comedian is you perform in any situation and you're professional. That's when you're a professional comedian, when you can perform regardless of the circumstance and give the same show to 10 people that you would to 10,000 people.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a that's a good tip, just not to berate the audience or attack the audience or just like put an audience in an awkward spot to where they now feel pressured to try to do something different than what they were doing before. When you talk to an audience like that or you say, you know something, you guys just aren't that great. You are literally set a stage for yourself where they don't know whether to laugh at you more or whether they should be cautious about everything you're going to say because you've sort of broken the wall of just like, hey, we're out here to have a good time. It's okay that they don't laugh at your joke. Like to your point, like maybe they're just a six as an audience together. And that's as high as they're going to go. Mm-hmm. Every comedian will tell you. I've seen comedians who have killed an 8 o'clock show where it was like raucous. 10 o'clock show comes around and it's at a five and there's nothing or anything that they said that was any different than the 8 o'clock show.
It's just,
you know what I mean? It's just to your point, an audience is just going to be an audience, but yeah, don't berate your audience. They're still there to have a good time.
Yeah. And I do want to confirm, David did not like berate the audience or anything. He had that funny line at the end of his set, but throughout his set, he kept going. He kept chopping wood, and I give him mad respect for that.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I mean, I just think like that's just, but I think it's also okay to like, it's okay to like say something about their energy as long as like you turn it into a positive. You know what I'm saying? Like, or turn it into something where it's more about you than it is about them. Like I've heard comedians be like, you know something, you guys as an audience are really great, but I wouldn't invite you to my wedding. You know what I mean? Which I think is funny, right? You still make it a little bit personal and you just kind of dug at them before, but that's still something they can laugh at versus being like, man, you guys are terrible kind of thing. So you just gotta, there's a fine line in like berating or like roasting an audience, I think, to your point that you never want to roast them because their energy will shift as soon as you start going in a little too much.
Yeah, especially when you're inexperienced. Like it's like we saw Joe Lowers, who we've had on the podcast, CEO of World Series of Comedy. We saw him here in Atlanta. Like that last show, was the audience wasn't great and he let them know it. But this is a guy who's been doing comedy over 20 years who understands how to read an audience, how to interact with an audience in a playful way. That is, I mean, he did berate them and he did like roast them, but they loved it. And that's a professional. Yeah. Like it takes years to be able to like have that of rapport with an audience.
You would have had to seen that kind of audience before. Cause my favorite line that Joe did mention, he was like, I'd like you guys to all get each other's numbers. And the next time you want to go out, make sure you call those people and make sure you don't go out together. Because as a collective, you're not great. Individually, you're probably awesome. But as a collective, I just wouldn't hang out again together. I was like, that's just funny, right? But it's just to your point, like, you got to have experience to be able to, like, get that kind of ribbing in an audience. And then they're still, they're laughing at him and laughing at themselves all at the same time, which I think is, like, that fine point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, nice little opening tip there for all the comics out there. If a show isn't going how you thought it would go, you just got to keep going, fam. You got to keep chopping wood.
They can't all be winners.
Wood. Yep.
They can't all be winners, but you still got to go.
Dude, I was literally just heard Mark Norman talking about one of his late shows, like, last weekend. I think it was the Saturday Late Show, and he was talking about how drunk it was and how out of control it was. And he was in a theater. Like, this is a guy with a big fan base, and even he, at his level, still has to struggle with these things. So just know, even as a young comic or wherever you are in the game, like, these shows happen, these experiences happen, and how you handle them as a professional is really kind of the difference between an amateur and a comedian people want to pay to see.
Facts. Big facts.
But yeah, it was all gravy. It was all good, fam.
But you dropping bores.
Joe Bars. They call me Joe Bowers. Joe Bars. All right. So we can get into the questions here.
Let's go.
What timer? You think?
Put the timer up.
When we did the rapid fire, we had to put the timer up. Let's see how we can go. Because people are liking these. Been getting messages about how people are liking these, and last week, like, each week on the podcast, I'll look at, like, the first 24 hours of, like, how many listens we're getting, and each week has been getting more and more in, like, 24 hours. So
nice. Thank you, guys. We appreciate y'all.
Yeehaw. So the first question I'm seeing here is Jack Allen, our hot brethren from across the pond. He asks, what is your best tip for handling a heckler?
Okay. So I think, you know, hecklers are one of those things because hecklers come in all different shapes and sizes, right? They're kind of just like, not all hecklers are built the same way. I think it's important to at least acknowledge a heckler in terms of at least call out what is happening. But when you do call out a heckler, I think it's also important to make sure that you're not demeaning a heckler. Like, if the heckler says something like a word or something like that, it's always good to, like, just repeat what that heckler said and then sort of try to turn whatever they said back into a joke. If the heckler is being, what's the word? If they're just saying things, they're kind of being disruptive, but they're not being demonstrative towards you or towards, like, the show. Because every once in a while, I think I understand that, like, some people might just feel moved just to say something during a show. Like, it just might be like I'll hear during a show, like, good God, that's hilarious. Or, like, just during a silence, or even, like, someone reacts to something, or they're like, they might be thinking of, like, a tag. Oh yeah, that's what she said, right? Even those kinds of things are completely okay. Mm-hmm. I would say, even in those situations, I'd never berate a heckler. Only time you really want to berate a heckler is that if they are completely disturbing the show. And in those situations, I would just be like, hey, security, can you guys just handle this person? Don't try to do the back and forth with hecklers. I feel like crowd work clips are making it seem as if though everyone can handle a heckler. And that's not the case. Those hecklers that show up on crowd clips are from videos that have been edited. Most of those heckle situations do not go that well. They simply don't. Most of the crowd work situations don't go that well. This is from like people doing so much crowd work. They're like, all right, we found that one out of the 50 crowd work clips that I did. We found the one that I'm going to put up. Makes it seem as if though this is what happens every time at my show. So in conclusion, I would say do whatever you can not to berate a heckler. Turn whatever they say into a positive. And if it gets demonstrative, just ask the venue, if they're security, hopefully, to just take care of it. That's how I approach hecklers, is no matter what, I always try to spin it into a positive.
Yeah, it's important to be able to identify the type of heckle it is. Like, is it someone trying to disturb the show, or is it someone that's just excited and just yelling something, or someone who's just drunk and doesn't maybe even realize what they're doing? But I think an important thing to understand with a heckler is that the audience is on your side. So they're rooting for you. The heckler is annoying them as much as is annoying you. So you don't have to fight fire with fire. And if like they're yelling at you, you don't have to like yell back at them. But like the more almost like reason you can address a heckler with, the dumber they're going to look, and the more the audience will be on your side to really be like, stop or whatnot. But it all starts with like recognizing what type of heckler it is, to then be able to address it in the best way possible. But for I will say that it requires, comes back to that. That's the reality, but it requires a lot of stage time, and it requires you getting heckled a lot, and it requires you not handling a heckler the right way to then learn how to handle the heckler the right way. Like, it really does. But being able to identify the heckler and then understanding that the audience is on your side, and even getting the audience involved with the situation of like, if they're yelling at you, you can be like, why are you yelling? Does anyone else want this person to keep yelling or whatnot? Like, get the audience involved in handling this heckler. That takes the pressure off you as well of trying to figure out something clever or whatnot. But no one in the audience is excited that there's a heckler. So the more you can get the audience involved in, quote, handling this heckler, I think the easier it'll be for you, and the quicker it'll get extinguished as well.
Yeah. I've seen a comedian do this trick, which I thought was pretty solid, which was they acknowledged, they're like, a heckler said something, and then they just repeated what they said, man, that's hilarious. And then they literally moved on to the next joke. Mm-hmm. Like, and that was it. Like, they just acknowledged it. Oh, that's funny. Moved on to the next joke. And then like the heckler just stopped. And I think sometimes hecklers are believing that they want attention. And if you don't give them that attention, they might just stop. Not all hecklers, to your point, not all hecklers are the same. But I think sometimes people believe that they are enhancing your show because they don't know the sort of comedy mores. I think that's a liberal arts word. Like, they don't know the comedy rules. You know what I'm saying? They don't know how to act at a comedy show. So they're like trying to figure out, well, based on the clips that I've seen, you just talk during the comedian set and then they'll interact with you. It's like, that's not how comedy works. But they don't know. They just think that's what they see on shows.
Mores.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's how like do you spell decorum.
Oh, decorum. Oh, you... Mores, like decorum.
Yeah.
I was trying to. But M-O-R-E-S. Yeah, I know what decorum means.
M-O-R-E-S.
M-O-R-E-S?
Yeah.
Ooh.
You but, should you know, read the definition.
That is a really good point. Mores. Let's see. Mores. The accepted traditional customs and usages of a particular social group.
Yes.
That's good. That's really good. That's a really good point. Bravo. But yeah, that's a good point of like repeating what the heckler says as well, because a lot of the time, same thing with crowd work, you want to like repeat what the person you're doing crowd work with says, because most of the audience probably can't hear them. So yeah. Repeating them gets everyone on the same page as well to keep going, instead of like, I see a lot of people doing crowd work where they're just having a conversation with the person and half the audience has no idea even like what's going on. And the same can be true with handling a heckler as well. So that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
What question is that?
Yeah, great question. Because I know that's a hot topic. That is a hot topic. But just approach a heckler conversationally. Don't try to fight fire with fire.
Yeah.
And just know the audience is on your side. And ignoring them is very powerful. Like, usually what I'll do with a heckler is I'll let them yell a few times. And I just ignore them because it can derail the show and they think they're a part of it. And a lot of times if you do ignore them, they will actually stop. And if they don't stop, I'll literally like shush them just very like politely. I'll just be like, shh, like at them. I'll just shush them and then go right back to the show. Like I don't even address that I just shush this person. Like I just keep going and that'll a lot of times get on, be like, oh, maybe I should shush. And if they keep going, then I'll like address them. But I give them a few strikes before I just, you know, go and like, all right, now the show is over here. Like, you'll be surprised. You just keep going and they'll usually stop too.
For sure. I will say I've seen shushing done. I think shushing is one of those things that has a bit of power if you are an intimidating person. You're tall. So people very few times will try to shush back because there's a very like significant like power play at shushing. I've seen women try to shush guys and guys got like super upset, like did not like being shushed. You know what I'm saying? Even though they deserve it. You know what I'm saying? So there's a privilege element of like, but I think it's important to still use it. Like it's good to still try it. You're like, hey, would you mind? And then get back to your show. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I think it's a powerful tool of maybe just like not acknowledging. But I think it's just only if it feels like everyone feels it. If everyone feels that this person is literally disturbing the show, I think you got to address it in some way.
Nice.
And that comes with experience.
For sure. Yes. So I think we have addressing hecklers. I think we've got that one. Next question in our Facebook group. Aaron Arledge. Should you go to open mics that make you pay or buy stuff? I always try to buy something when I do open mics, but making it mandatory doesn't sit well with me.
You know, I would say it just depends on how deep your pockets are and how much stage time you really need. I don't have like a blanket rule. Like if you're okay, because really all they're really doing is just trying to find a way to support the venue. That's really what that is that the venue is just trying to make sure that whoever comes in, that they're getting something out of it. So it's mostly just to keep the lights on with most places that do that. I don't think necessarily that a comedian or most comedians are getting a kickback from you buying food or you buying drinks at most venues. Very few venues I know give comedians, oh, we're going to give you part of the sales of the beer that you sell that are sold during the time that you did the open mic. I really don't know any that do that. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
I think it's a matter of whether you want to support that venue or not. And if you don't, and if that doesn't sit well with you, I'm always about energy. If that doesn't sit well with you, skip that open mic, try to go to something else. Like if that just doesn't feel right, but just, I would just play devil's advocate to let you know that that's not something that necessarily was asked for. That's probably just a condition for someone to actually do the open mic there. It's not like something that was like, oh yeah, I'm also going to charge any comedian that comes in, you know, just to make sure I get my, they're not getting, most comics aren't getting any money from any venue selling beer or selling food.
Yeah, that's trying to think of the shows. I mean, I've only paid to be on like a handful of shows. I think in New York, I paid to be on a show, and I literally went up last. And I literally, every comic went up. This was in the basement of a bar. Every comic went up and then immediately left. So by the end of the show, it was literally me and the host. I sat through this entire open mic I paid to be a part of, probably 20 comics on it, and I went up last. Me and literally me and the host left in the basement of this bar, and that was it.
Was it a good set, though?
The host then took me to another show, so that was cool.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I got like extra stage time out of it.
Damn, you had to pay $16 for this drink. I might as well show you something else.
Yeah, I think I paid $10 for that stage time. So I've only done a handful of times, but yeah, if it doesn't sit well with you, then yeah, just don't do it. And if you don't mind and can do it, then yeah, do it. Kind of personal preference there. But yeah, no comic is getting rich off that scheme. I can't imagine, at least the vast majority, I can't imagine that someone's hosting a show to get money from comics. You know, that's probably the venue.
Yes.
But good question there.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Jeff Ardle, is there any value in Hot Breath sponsoring open mics and the pros in the group doing shows at the satellite shows?
At the satellite. Is he talking about the World Series? Or is he talking about something else?
I don't know. Is there a value of Hot Breath sponsoring open mics and the pros in the group doing shows at the satellite shows? I mean, there is value in Hot Breath sponsoring open mics, I would say. At some point. I don't hate it. I mean, we're definitely gonna do more live events and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's definitely part of the plan.
Yep.
And things like that. So yeah, we'll definitely be doing more of that. We're eating this elephant one bite at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, so there's definitely value in it for sure. I think we're just trying to find a way. We're looking for ways to sort of scale it and get into sort of something that's like a regular rotation. So if we do like go out, if you and I go out to like a city, we could probably do a show, right? And then get Hot Brethren's and Sisterins to come out and do the show with us. But yeah, definitely. Yeah, I feel like we talked about that like day two when we got together on Hot Breath. We were just like, yeah, that's a great idea. That's definitely sort of the vision of it, of yes, we want to try to find more ways to get comedians more stage time and to also help comedians out. So sort of having an open mic with Hot Breath folks is, yeah, that's a plus. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so anyone listening to this and you know of a show in your area that you think Yoshi and I would be good for, hit us up. I mean, we're, you know.
Holla at the kids. Holla
at us. We game to do shows for the Hot Breathiverse. We love meeting y'all and doing shows together, and we want to do more of that. So definitely reach out to us. Slide in the DMs.
Slide. Slide to the left.
Oh, wait, where'd it go? There it is. And there's a sound effect.
Jokes.
You said slide in the DMs. Made me. There we go.
Oh.
Clyde Williams, is there any particular strategy adding callbacks to your set? Strategy. I don't know if a strategy.
I think it's a good idea to add callbacks. I think callbacks work. I would say, and I remember when we were doing the Type 5 Accelerator for a couple of them. One of the, maybe the Jason Roland from the World Series, the vice president of the World Series, was mentioning how he's not crazy about callbacks for a 5-minute set. Like, it's not necessarily for a 5-minute set, because it's 5 minutes of just you proving that you can do jokes. Whereas a callback, maybe, you know, it's probably good if you're doing like 10, 15, maybe even 20 minutes, because you get to establish yourself. But if you're trying to squeeze a callback in within 5 minutes, I remember him mentioning that that's not a great idea, because it's not needed, because it feels like you're just trying to force the callback versus just showcasing your best material. So if now if the callback is literally your best stuff, then sure, do it. But if it's not your best stuff, then don't do that in a showcase set of 5 minutes. So I don't know if that answers the question or not. From a strategy perspective, I do like the philosophy. If you're doing like 15 minutes, for sure, add a callback. I think an audience would appreciate it, because callbacks make an audience feel super smart, like they were in on the joke itself.
Yeah, so, for sure.
When it works really, really well. When it doesn't or falls flat, it does fall flat. So I would just say play with it and see what happens. But I don't think callbacks are needed for short sets, but definitely for longer sets, I think they're a good strategy.
Yeah, and it, I think the only strategy would be to just make it organic. You know, I mean, yeah. I personally don't mind a callback in a 5-minute set. Like, if it's organic and if it fits and it doesn't feel forced. So
yeah.
Just make sure whatever callback you do have, that it's organic and it makes sense, and it's like a part of the set and not like something you just tried to like squeeze in there.
Yeah. Great point.
Yeah. Yep. And if people, I mean, a callback is basically a reference to something you said earlier in the set. If people are listening and maybe don't know what a callback is. So if you mention like your dog's name, and then later in your set, you mention the dog's name again. It's like you could be talking about walking your dog, and then maybe at the grocery store and someone barks at you or another dog barks at you and you're like, oh, you're not Fido. That was a terrible example.
That was
a horrendous example.
Yeah, yeah. That's why you should work on callbacks. You
know what I mean? Yeah. Because I was trying to even think of a callback I have. I can't even think of one that I do.
Oh, really? I'm trying to think of one for you. I have a callback about a joke that I make around bathroom humor stuff. But I do it mostly in like, I'll do a callback in a 45, 35, 25 minute set. That's usually when, like, something past 20 minutes, I'll do callbacks. Mostly because I like the audience, like, sense of, oh my God, he called that back. Like, I love ending on a big callback with a big joke. So my closers typically have callbacks to something else that I've said in the set to end the show, because then people feel like, oh my God, that's a good button. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's just like the storytelling thing, right? It's like any good movie that has a good callback to it, you're always like, oh, that was pretty solid. So
yeah, closer like, is a good way to, yeah, callbacks are good for closers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Good. Yeah. Good question, yeah, though.
Work on the callbacks. Don't be like Joel. Don't just make them up on the spot. Just work
yeah, that
on
was bad. I mean, the one that comes to mind is I have a joke about football and concussions being getting your bell rung. And then I do an act out of me getting a concussion, and I use like the phrase getting your bell rung. So that it's like a chunk, it's like a bit about concussions now being used to be called getting your bell rung, and then I do an act out and use the phrase getting your bell rung, so it calls it back that way. But it's usually callbacks are usually good for closers, like a nice little button on the set.
Nice little button.
Little button. Mores. Phil Ketrin asked, I struggle with what is clean as I use a lot of sexual innuendos. Any suggestions?
Um, I think it's funny because we're both pretty clean comedians. I probably do more cursing than you do on shows, but for the most part, we're both pretty clean.
Probably.
And I have jokes where I do sexual innuendos, and I actually just did a joke with, I just did a show with Andrew Stanley, who's absolutely hilarious. One of the best comedians, I think, in the city. Super hilarious. And he's got some jokes that are sexual innuendo, and he's a clean comedian. And so if you ever want to like watch someone does really good sexual innuendo stuff, he's got some good jokes there. I would say the key is to maybe just, if it feels like people can visually graphic, if you just say, yeah, me and my wife have sex every once in a while, that's a clean joke. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're like, start talking about penetration and butt stuff, you're like, oh, dude, like just, I just said those two things and already Joel just felt awkward about it.
I bowed my head in prayer. I'm going to pray for you, Yoshi.
Those were clean words that I just said, but yet it made him feel a certain type of way. That to an audience is not what you want for a clean set. If that makes sense. I hope that makes sense. I hope that was a good example of just like, even if you're like, I remember I put a comedian on the show and they said, hey, can I say the word anal? And then I was like, let's skip it. And then they changed the whole joke to butt stuff. And I was just like, that didn't help the joke be any cleaner just because you said butt stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like it was still a dirty joke because you didn't change any part of it. You just changed the word. But the joke was so dirty that it didn't matter whether you just changed the word to where you didn't say the word anal or not. So I think it's about, you know, you just got to think like, I always say, if you think clean, the best way to think about clean is something you'd say around your grandparents. That's clean.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Unless you have just super filthy grandparents, you know what I'm saying? But just think of like a group of grandparents getting together. That is the audience you should think about for your material when it comes to clean.
Yeah, and clean is, it's so subjective. Like what's clean to one person may be considered dirty to another. There's like PG-13 clean or like, so if you're ever on a show and you're not sure if something's clean or not, like ask the person, booking it, like that comic did with Yoshi, you know, just ask the comic that booked you, is this clean or not? But a lot of the time, if you have to ask, then
it's probably dirty.
Yeah, it's if you have to ask, it's probably dirty. But there's ways to do, like you said, like, I think Bill Engvall is another example of a comedian who does a lot of innuendo and stuff, but he's considered, like, he does Blue Collar Comedy Tour and all that, so it's like, he's considered a clean comic. So there are ways to do dirty topics and just being more clever, and you can actually make them clean. And there's such, there's such a value in doing, at least being able to do clean comedy. I talked to like a younger comic when I was in Austin who was a fan of the podcast and came up to me and it felt really cool, but he was asking about clean comedy. And he said he was offered a church gig where he had to do 10 minutes clean for $500. And he turned it down because he couldn't do clean.
That's and he such like, a smart move to and such good awareness to not take that gig.
Yeah, just to not take the money and ruin everyone's night. Yeah,
most comedians would just take their set, take out the curse words, and be like, we're going to take this 500. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's such good awareness to like be like, you know something? I'm just not going to be able to do that. But yeah.
But there's just value in being able to be clean. And you can usually turn something dirty clean just by using different words. Like whatever the dirty words are, brainstorm different ways you can say the same thing, but without it being so just graphic or on the nose.
Yeah.
There's usually ways you can do it. Like, yeah, but it just takes a little more, creativity and a little extra legwork, but it's worth it.
For sure. And then you just got to think, even like if you're doing church shows, right? Stay away from sex, stay away from politics, stay away from race, if possible, right? Those are the three things that I would say are like at church shows, just don't work very well for a clean set. Now, if you want to talk about traffic, you want to talk about parents, that's like stuff that church material is like, that kills in church material.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think you just know, just top it. If your joke is written out, like is titled sex stuff or has anything to do with sex, that's not the, no matter what you're going to do, not no matter, but like, just know, maybe you should revamp that joke to make it a clean material.
Yeah. And speaking of which, if anyone listening to this is a member of a church, holla at your boys. We're very capable and able to perform at churches. I've performed at several churches and corporate events and colleges and family reunions and all sorts of stuff. So for we are sure. available for booking, and our wives appreciate it.
We should just turn that. That should be the name of the podcast. We are available for booking, and book our us. Wives appreciate it. Podcast.
Yes. Yeah. All very true. All right. Next question here. Oh, this is an interesting one from Tommy LaJoy, who also had our first comment of the day. He just said, yo. But we appreciate that engagement there, Tommy, on our YouTube channel. He said, do you now use ChatGPT to find links and ideas? And do you consider it cheating to use a chatbot to help you write?
I have recently started using ChatGPT to come up with like fun jokes. So I did a show out in a city that I normally host in, and I actually used it as part of my set. And I asked the chat thing to come up with like 10 jokes about the city. And then I read off the jokes in my set. And it was just funny because the whole point of it was that ChatGPT like doesn't really know anything about your city. It just assumes a whole bunch of stuff. So just know that like, that's the other thing about ChatGPT that people should realize. Just because it spits out an answer doesn't actually mean it's the right answer. Like, not always correct, right? So even if you're like, because I was writing something about like, hey, give me comics who are from Atlanta. And it started naming all these comics, just normal comics. And not like two of them were from Atlanta, but like eight of them were not. I was like, oh, it's just going through a database and just, but I think it only spit out comics who were super popular and have had Atlanta shows. So you just got to understand, like, there's a difference in how you ask the chat, like, for certain things, and it may not know the difference. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Just know that, like, it's about material. If it's helping you enhance your material, for sure. I don't see any issues with it. It's just like, you know, people are worried that ChatGPT is going to take over people that write content. It's not. You know, people have been writing content since the dawn of time, and people have gotten help with content since the dawn of time. So I don't see it being like an issue if you use it for material.
Yeah, I don't see it as cheating. I think it's another tool, just like the one we talked about last week that you shared in the Facebook group, actually, that Hot Brethren Imre created. That's like, it's like a mind map one. There's like a, there's a few different tools that he's like, he's a programmer. He knows code. He like coded these writing tools that you guys can see in our Facebook group. So I don't, if you use it and it works for you, more power to you. It's just another tool at your disposal. I feel like just like using a thesaurus, you know, or any other, Word Hippo is another like website, you know? So I've played around with it a little bit. I haven't gotten anything like specific from it, but there's a learning curve with interacting with any AI and like writing the correct prompts and knowing what to ask it and how to ask it to really get what you want. So it's a whole learning curve there, but yeah, more power to you. If you figure it out and it helps you write material faster and it works on stage, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I've seen it. I also asked it to write like monologue jokes. about like certain news, and it's actually a good starting point. It's shitty with punchlines, but it's a good starting point with like the setup for sure. Because it just doesn't understand like the human element of the surprise, right? So I think there's just, yeah, find out what's good in it, use that, and if it's not great, don't use it.
Nice.
And at the end of the day, it's all about testing your material on stage. It might sound great coming from ChatGPT, but ChatGPT cannot guarantee that people are going to laugh at you.
All right. So we are in, we got our countdown timer now. We're in the hot zone. What should we call this part of the show? The hot zone, the rapid fire, the hot round.
The breath round. Yeah.
The breath round.
Yeah. You got to do it within one breath.
All right. The breath round. We're taking a deep breath here. Well, that's a working title. We'll ask ChatGPT what's a better title for this segment. Oz Morris asked, how is the writing process different between writing jokes that are open mic funny, show funny, and comedy special funny? I write daily jokes, but how can you tell this is comedy special funny, or is this open mic or Twitter funny?
You basically gotta
do it. I mean, yeah. It's you got to do it on stage first to know if it's funny or not. Basically,
for sure. Yeah, and Twitter funny just would be funny to where people read it and they get it, versus if you perform it and they get it, right? Like if you've got wordplay stuff, wordplay works very well on Twitter because people can actually see the word and see what you did with it. So I think there's a difference there. But I think, yeah, it's all about like, you know, specials are just super tight jokes that you've worked on that most comedians or who are doing like specials every year, they have worked that out like almost close to 100 times before they've ever said it in a special. They've seen that joke work and they've tightened it up.
Mm-hmm.
Open mic is an intro to a joke, right? Like you're just getting your legs underneath you. And then showcase is just like a much more solid open mic joke. You know what I mean? So I think that's really the key, is the stage will tell you when it's ready for the big stage. You know what I mean? When it's like, oh, okay, now we take it up a notch.
Yeah, I think it starts with you trying it on stage, and that'll help steer whether or not, oh, this is maybe a better tweet, or maybe this idea is a sketch instead of a stand-up bit. But yeah, I think it all starts with trying it out in an open mic, and then what is kept with a comedy special. I mean, gosh, my special was 10 years of material condensed into one special, you know? So that's really, that's most people's first special. I think I heard Bert Kreischer say that your first special takes you 10 years, the next one takes you 5, and then from there you kind of start to roll them out quicker. Now, of course, there's, I'm sure people listening that are prodigies that are like, but that's not me. And you know, you do you, boo. Like literally, it is the Wild West out there. If you can build a following online, go for it, 100%. But yeah, that's usually the rule of thumb. So yeah, I would say Oz starts with open mics, and that'll help you to determine where, what, or if you want to do anything with that joke moving forward.
For sure.
Ooh, and DJ Sketch said Spitfire round.
Ooh, I like that. I do like that.
I like that. Spitfire.
Yep.
Spitfire round. We'll have to use that sound effect there. Oh, like yours. The fire.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Young comedian. Oh. Oh, wait, here it is.
Fire.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right. I need a countdown timer for that.
Do you remember Street Fighter? Did you ever play Street Fighter?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. There's a character in Street Fighter that says that. Fire.
I just remember Ayukin.
Yeah. Dalsim. Dao Ham. He's really skinny guy with long arms and long legs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fire. Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right. That's a rabbit trail. Let's get back.
Yeah. Yoga fire. Yoga flame.
Yoga.
And this ties in. Oz followed up with, he saw a documentary basically that said, you need to stop writing to please others and write for yourself. How do you do that? And I think it is listening to your own instinct and your own intuition and your own sense of humor about what you genuinely find funny. Just because you see a comic in your scene killing with, you know, an abortion joke or whatnot, or you see Bill Burr saying something like aggressive about women that you feel like, oh, I need a joke like that to become Bill Burr. But it's like, no, like, you figure out what's funny to you and write in that direction. Don't try to adapt or steal ideas from other people just because it's working for them. No, like, listen to yourself. And that sound effect I actually did this.
Young comedian Padawan.
Young comedian Padawan. That's a sound effect from the online class we have where I'm just telling people throughout the class to, at any moment, you know, listen to your intuition, listen to your sixth sense, which is your sense of humor, and really follow that instinct and that feeling and intuition that you have and let that be your guide and not what some other comic is doing. So
I like that.
That's basically it. Yeah. But he kind of, Oz got a double dip in there, but I thought it was a relevant and good question. All right. I think we have like two more here. This will be a quick one. Antonio Martinez comedy is starting a showcase. Very nice. And wait, starting a showcase or show any tips? Oh, he's not starting one. He wants to start one, but he needs advice on finding a venue and a PA system. Man, this has been a hot topic. I think I posted the video of us talking about this, but to sum up find a venue that's going to actually be excited to help you promote the show and actually work together to make this a victory. And a good rule of thumb with that is a venue that's already doing other live events like karaoke or trivia or music, so that live entertainment is already a natural extension of what they already do.
Yep. Yeah. And a PA system, you can find them on Amazon. Really, it's about just starting with something small that fits the stage. Most PA systems are loud enough to where any venue you've got, it's going to be sizable for it. So don't go big on your first one.
And I guarantee you, Antonio, if you post in our Facebook group asking good PA systems for a live show, I guarantee you will get a whole list of them.
Guarantee.
Dude, I saw a post yesterday. A comedian or a member of the Facebook group posted like something that happened with his coworkers. So he was like asking for good like zinger lines he can hit, like he can say about his coworker. And there was like almost like 100 comments on there. So it's just very cool to see comics helping comics and the community coming together in any way. So yeah, post in the Facebook group. I guarantee you'll get some PA system recommendations there, Antonio. And as we start to land the plane, Yoshi could be good at this one. Keto Carol asked about, she's in the World Series of Comedy Phoenix and going first in her round. Tips for going first.
So, I would say probably the biggest thing for going first is to come with energy. If you are the first comedian, as we call it, the bullet spot in the comedy world, if you're the bullet spot, just come with energy, mostly because you want to reset whatever your host did to make sure that you are remembered as the first comedian. I think it's always great to be the first comedian that comes out because you are going to set the bar for every other comedian. So my biggest tip would be energy. when you get out on stage. You know, if it's a showcase show, don't do this. Do not ask how the audience is doing. That's tip number two. Do not ask how the audience is doing. Simply, like, this is, you know, there's different ways of saying this. So like, hi, my name is Yoshi. Excited to be here. Go into your first line. Like something simple as that. Don't spend too much time engaging with the audience right out of the gate. Just go into your jokes. It's the showcase. The host has already and should have already done that job for you. You don't need to interact with the audience or do anything like that. This is a showcase. You have 5 minutes or 7 minutes, whatever you're in, to just hit them with your joke. So focus on that. But energy as the bullet spot is a good way to make sure that you are remembered.
And have fun. Just have fun with it. I think with contests, you can overthink it. You can overemphasize the just even what's at stake. Like, oh, I have to do X, Y, and Z. Just have fun and the audience will have fun.
Absolutely. Just know that you having a good time on stage, the audience will also have a good time on stage. So do not forget to make sure that you are having a good time on stage as much as possible.
Bavoom. And the final question is, oh my heavens, is Kim Cattrall or Cottrell? I don't want to mispronounce her name, but she's a newer member of the Facebook group. So it's always exciting to see new members posting questions. She said, I have an opener, closer, and always try for smooth transitions for a 5 minute set. Is it good to have a strategy like this for open mics?
Simple answer, no. I don't think you need transition for your open mic stuff. I think you can go from one idea to the next idea, as long as you make sure that at whenever you're done with like your punchline and your tags, there's sort of a natural silence before you go on to the next thing. I don't think you have to have a transition into your next material for an open mic.
You certainly don't have to. It's a stylistic choice. Like, I always, from the jump, have, even like the early open mic days, I was always like mindful of like, all right, how can I transition from one thing to the other and make it seem like a seamless conversation? And I would organize my jokes accordingly. But yeah, there's,
yeah,
it's kind of like a callback. It's like we said it with a callback earlier, you know, they're great as long as they're not forced. Same thing with the transition, you know, is like, yeah, as long as it's organic and you make it natural and it not something you're trying to just shoehorn in there for the sake of you think you have to do that. It's all personal stylistic preference there.
Yeah. And I think that's how I took the question. Like, I took the question as, is this something you have to do? Do you have to do a transition for an open mic? And the answer is you don't have to. If you do, there's nothing wrong with it, but you don't have to do it. And I would say just in a lot of the open mics that I've seen, and I've seen probably 1,000 open mics, it's not needed for you to still get the same kind of like laughs and or premises that you're trying to for your joke. People understand that as soon as there's a little bit of silence, that there's a new thought that you're about to have. You don't have to transition people from one to the other, unless like you mentioned, Joel, there's a natural transition. Like, if you talk about sugar and then you go into breakfast cereal because you obsess with sugar from Saturday mornings, that's a natural transition to sort of walk into that topic. But if you talk about sugar and then you want to talk about, like, you know, let's say Bluetooth cameras or something like that, you don't need to try to find a transition between those two.
Yeah, the audience will follow you. Like, if you go from one topic to the next, no one's going to be like, oh, where's the segue? Where's the transition? They're just listening to you. They'll go wherever you take them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. Nice. Yeehaw. We did it.
We did it.
For people that are listening to the podcast or watching this later, we do this live stream every Tuesday. We would love to meet you. We would love to talk to you. So please set a reminder for every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're on here answering your questions live. and we want to meet you and do shows together. If you have shows, DM us on social media at Hot Breath Pod. And yeah, we're back next Tuesday. Anything else, Yoshi?
No, player. It was fun. I had a good weekend of shows. Got more stuff coming up. Super excited. Summer months are going to be good, man. So, yeah, just super excited about what we got going on.
You cooking? You cooking up something over there?
Yeah, man, I'm cooking. Oh yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. No. I'm trying to I have my mind set on doing like a special lunch. Figured a date yet, but just got a nice little thought process and trying to figure out all the pieces of making it work.
Oh, word?
It getting recorded. Yeah, Hot Brethren, Adam Moeller sort of was like my inspiration, like of just like putting that work in, man, of just like practicing and getting it nice and tight. Because I feel like I have material that I used to be always conscious of is like the timing, that your special had to be like an hour, because that's what everyone does. But it's like, it doesn't have to be an hour. I'm thinking about putting like a 44-minute special up. You know what I mean? Just 44 minutes of my
material. Yeah.
So just thinking about like just how to make that happen in the next couple of months. So I'm super excited about that.
Well, we're here for you, buddy. So anything we can do to help with that, that is very exciting.
Yeah, very excited about that.
My guy. All right. Well, stay tuned, Hot Breathiverse. More to come on Yoshi's comedy special. So book him so he can get those reps, so he doesn't bomb and embarrass the whole Hot Breathiverse. I'm just kidding. He's going to kill it. Very nice. All right. We're going to get out of here.
Get out. Bye.
Bye, y'all. We love you. Happy grinding out there. We'll see y'all next Tuesday. Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.